I hope you are duly provoked. So I would like to invite Per to give you comments from the perspective of head of a central evaluation unit. And I know you also, you've been active in evaluation for a long time. So please.
Thank you so much, Eva, and thank you for the invitation to be part of this EBA seminar. I've been curious to know more about EBA and what you're actually working on and what kind of reports you produce. And then to the report. This is a report about a study of the evaluation work of CEDA's Unit for Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, which is commissioned to do independent evaluations assessing CEDA-financed development cooperation. A unit inside CEDA focusing on project evaluations. The Norwegian Evaluation Department is housed in NORAD, but reports to the Secretary General of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And we do thematic evaluations on all aspects of development cooperation, no matter who is responsible for the work. So quite different evaluation functions. How the researchers are able to draw conclusions regarding both on the basis of reports from both these units, I'm struggling to fully understand how that is possible. Another thing I'm struggling with is the selection of data in the study. Even though the researchers claim to use historical breadth, thematic continuity, and the diversity of forms as selection criteria, it's not obvious to me why they end up with 12 Swedish studies and only 6 Norwegian reports. And out of these 6 reports, 3 is produced after 2007, out of a universe of 90 evaluation reports. And in addition, they interview one person in addition to me. Who this person is, I have no idea. It doesn't say in the report. On top of this, the report has inaccuracies. One of the example of this is when they discuss the so-called transmission notes, the note that I sent to the Secretary General of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs on the basis of the report. The researchers says in the report that these transmission notes summarizes the evaluation and its recommendations. If they had really read the mandate, they would have seen that the purpose of these notes is to provide the evaluation department's views on the evaluation reports and the department's recommendations, the department's recommendations for follow-up. This is rather fundamental to understand the role of the evaluation department. They also seem to have missed the point that we produce a number of other communication products. In fact, the evaluation reports are only a small part of the total communication production from the department. And in addition, this lack of really discussing the differences between the CEDA evaluation unit and our evaluation department, I think it's a bit worrisome. The key terms in the report are accountability and learning. While I have no problems with this being important topics and important issues that we do struggle with, These are loosely defined in the report. And I have big problems understanding how these terms can be in contradiction. But maybe that's because they're not clearly defined, and maybe we understand these terms differently. I don't know. And then in addition, it's necessary to understand that the work we're doing is part of government offices. And government offices are really defined as learning organizations. They're quite typical bureaucratic organizations, and maybe some of the most traditional organizations you find in the MFAs. So to find that these are not learning organizations could not be a big surprise. The study focuses on written reports. The discussion of the evaluation process could have been enriched by also including descriptions on how stakeholders are involved in developing the evaluation program, in developing the terms of reference, and in the process of developing recommendations. The author's finding of the challenges in working with external consultants is well known in the evaluation community and has been discussed several times in the evaluation network in OECD DAC, in the United Nations Evaluation Network, in the MDBs, etc. And maybe more for the audience, Ole Winkler Andersen, the editor of Evaluation Connection, has written a really good article about this. And this is also one of the reasons why our mandate for the Norwegian Evaluation Department no longer requires the use of external consultants. The report lists four choices. The first choice is regarding the evaluation report. While this is interesting, we, as I said, we do focus on other parts of the communication than the report. The report itself, the consultant report itself, plays a smaller and smaller part, a role in the whole evaluation process. The second and third choice regarding the use of external consultants and recommendations, they're sensible choices, but I think we have moved the debate in our community far beyond what is recommended in the report. For instance, if they read one of the reports here, the third one, the study of 37 OECD evaluation units and 9 multilateral evaluation units, they see that the tendency is to focus more and more on learning in the evaluation work of these units. So, unfortunately, I see limited value of this report. It appears that authors have limited understanding of the context. The data seems to be skewed, and the argument seems to be built up to support a preconceived conclusion. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, I think the team will get an opportunity to respond. I don't know if you want to give some spontaneous comments right now, or we'll take it later. Okay, thank you. Joachim, we'll see if the CEDA has sort of similar critical comments.
No, I don't think I'm as critical as Per, and I think actually the question asked, is learning and accountability compatible in aid evaluation, is an interesting question to debate and discuss and think about. So I think it's a good starting point for such a discussion. at the same time, I have some remarks that are a little bit similar to Per. And to start out, maybe the thing that struck me the most was also something that Per alluded to, which is about the concepts of learning, accountability, but also evaluation itself. I think you talked about this is an empirical study. You try to empirically find out if these are compatible things or not in evaluation. But to me, maybe it's more of a conceptual question. What do we mean by learning? What do we mean by accountability? What do we mean by evaluation? I think that is maybe the most pressing question here. And I also think that doesn't mean that we need to define these three terms. I think that's impossible. They would mean different things in different circumstances for different actors, which makes it very difficult, obviously, to answer that question. But at the same time, to really go into a deep discussion about this subject, I think it's a conceptual discussion. And just to start and exemplify what I mean is, if we start with the concept of learning, you talk about big learning or organizational learning. I think that concept in itself is very difficult to grasp. What does it really mean? I worked now almost 15 years in this field. I worked with education before that. And I think, you know, the practitioners in aid is learning a lot every day. That's why I've stayed 15 years in the field too, because it's so interesting to learn new things all the time. You said individual learning takes place. But also, we produce lots of policy documents, other types of documents, declarations, etc., where I would say learning is encapsulated in the concepts we use. Say, for example, a concept like ownership, which is tremendously important in development cooperation. A lot of learning has gone into that concept and how we use it in development cooperation to understand that ownership is crucial for any development. And that is a big learning, I would say. A lot of the other concepts used in the Paris Declaration on Aid Effectiveness, for example, are also concepts that encapsulates lots of learning. And they're used in discourse in the aid field all the time. So I think actually we have a lot of big learning taking place, maybe not only from evaluations, but from many different sources. So big learning or learning, organizational learning, that concept would need to be more clarified for us to understand what we're talking about here. Same goes for accountability. That's also a very difficult concept. And for evaluation itself, or monitoring and evaluation, we should rather speak about that, I think. And I have this pyramid to exemplify a little bit also of the complexity of the aid system and then also the complexity of these concepts we are talking about. Now, it's in Swedish, but I hope most of you understand Swedish. At the bottom, you have the cooperation partner or the implementer of aid, or the one who is supposed to learn or develop something. Most of the monitoring and evaluation activities take place at that bottom level of the pyramid. At CEDA, we have around 4,000 projects right now ongoing. And each and every one of these 4,000 projects have a monitoring and evaluation plan and do some sort of monitoring and evaluation. Then you have the CEDA program managers, the operational team at CEDA. They have different learning needs and accountability needs than the partner, and they commission decentralized evaluation to a large extent. We also have the departments at Stockholm headquarter level, which are not, you know, field level. They also have some requirements for learning and accountability. And you go upwards towards the Director General of CEDA, the Board of CEDA, Minister of Foreign Affairs, and then finally the politicians and the citizens of Sweden. So we assume that results and learning is going a bit upwards, and that will be the big learning type, I think. A lot of individual learning takes place at the bottom, and then some of the bigger learnings go upwards, so we learn. And in development, usually the accountability goes downwards, which is maybe not the same as is the case in other political fields. And should not be either. I would say that learning and accountability takes place at each and every level here in different ways. And that's why this one question, to frame this as one question about learning and accountability, if they're compatible or not, is not possible. It depends on where in the system you are. And as I said, this level is where most of the monitoring and evaluation takes place. And you, in this particular study, you have not looked at this level at all. The 4,000 at CIDA, the 4,000 different monitoring and evaluation systems that are ongoing all the time. Then we have the decentralized evaluations, which are mentioned in the report, which are ordered by CIDA's operational units, not by us at the unit for evaluation, or the evaluation team. And then what we call in our system strategic evaluations at the top of the pyramid, so to speak, which are aimed at audiences at CIDA headquarters, Director General, the board, and to some extent the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. That's the great sample in your report. That's what you're studying, really. And actually, that is just the top of the iceberg. And most of the monitoring and evaluation activities in aid is taking place at other levels in the system. So I think some of the conclusions you make are probably correct for this top of the pyramid, but I don't think they're really working at lower levels in the system. And that is, as I said, where most of the monitoring evaluation takes place. Yeah, so that was the full pyramid. So, yeah, that was basically my main point, that to look at the complexity, that learning and accountability means different things at different levels, and that we will need to explore further what these concepts means at the different levels in the pyramid. Thank you.